This is Oklahoma's Talk Radio, the new Freedom 96.9. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377. Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
Well, we made it. It's Friday. Thursday, it was yesterday. Wednesday was the day before. Today is Friday. It's July 31st in the year of our Lord, 2026. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. If you want to be part of the conversation this morning, very simple to do. 405-608-4377 is the number you want to dial. 405-608-4377. And we've got a lot we want to talk about this morning. One person is dead after an early morning domestic dispute in Tacoma Park. What investigators are saying about that deadly shooting. Disturbing new details after a Kay County woman went missing. The charges that her husband is now facing. A shooting in Midwest City lands two people in jail. Folks in the Asian district in Oklahoma City want the homeless problem there addressed after a man was beaten to death with a brick. The former Okarchi police chief finds himself on the other side of the law. What he's accused of coming up. Governor Kevin Stitt weighing in on data centers. Why he says he supports them. There's a shortage of volunteer firefighters here in Oklahoma. The chief of the Wellston Fire Department will be joining us on this First Responder Friday to discuss the problem. Plus, your calls and comments and your dad joke of the day. But first, your Freedom First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. The Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office is investigating an early morning murder in Tacoma Park. Deputies were called to a home on Timber Road just after midnight. There they found one person had been shot. Two people have been taken into custody for questioning. Investigators say right now they believe the homicide is the result of a domestic dispute. Deputies will release more details later on this morning. Well, new court documents reveal disturbing allegations behind the arrest of a Ponca City man after his wife was briefly reported missing in Kay County. Investigators say Jason Rogers reported his wife was missing on July 22nd, but was found safe with family the next day. According to court records, the woman told deputies she had been assaulted, threatened with death, and forced to leave behind her phone, wallet, and other belongings before being made to write goodbye letters to her children. Authorities say she had visible injuries when they found her. Rogers was arrested and a protective order has since been issued. Formal charges are still pending. Two people are in custody and a third suspect still on the run after a shooting in Midwest City. Police responded to the Sand Hills Apartments just after midnight on Thursday and found a woman who had been shot in the foot. Witnesses told investigators the shots came from a white Ford Mustang carrying three men before the car sped away. Oklahoma City police later spotted that stolen Mustang and chased it for several minutes before arresting two suspects. Officers also recovered a 9mm handgun from the vehicle. The victim was taken to the hospital where the bullet was removed from her foot. Charges are expected, and the investigation continues. Well, the beating death of a homeless man in Oklahoma City's Asian district is renewing calls for a better response to the homeless and public safety issues in the area. 59-year-old Cap Nguyen was found beaten to death outside a laundromat earlier this month. At a community meeting, business owners described ongoing problems with trespassing, trash, and people camping near their businesses. While police acknowledge staffing shortages make it difficult to respond quickly to every call, homeless outreach workers stressed that getting people into housing oftentimes takes repeated contact and trust, while community members argued that mental health treatment, outreach programs, and housing resources, not just police, are needed to address the growing problem. Police say in solving homelessness will require a community-wide effort and not just law enforcement alone. The former police chief of Okarchi is now facing a felony charge following an OSBI investigation. 52-year-old Forrest Smith turned himself in on Thursday after prosecutors accused him of using another person's notary signature and official stamp without permission during a city audit. Investigators say Smith signed the affidavit claiming that he had complied with the audit process, even though the supervisor whose notary seal was used was not at work that day. Smith, who served as Okarchi's police chief from 2018 to 2024, was booked into the Canadian County Jail on a charge of impersonating another in the execution of an instrument. The police chief of Burns Flat is now facing criminal charges himself following an investigation into a traffic stop earlier this year. Oklahoma State Bureau of Investigation says agents were asked to review the May incident, at the request of the sheriff's office. After completing their investigation, agents turned their findings over to the DA's office. Chief Keith Smith has now been charged with two misdemeanors, one count of unlawful detention and one count of assault and battery. OSBI officials say Smith surrendered to authorities on Thursday. Few details about that traffic stop have been released, and the case remains under investigation. A tragic accident on Lake Eufaula has claimed the life of a 43-year-old man. The Oklahoma Highway Patrol says the man jumped from a Yamaha ski boat and never resurfaced. Troopers launched a search. His body was recovered on Thursday by the OHP Marine Enforcement Division with the assistance from the agency's dive team. Seven other people were on board the boat at the time, and none of them were injured. The incident happened in McIntosh County, about a mile and a half east of the city of Eufaula. The investigation is continuing. The Oklahoma County Criminal Justice Authority is mourning the loss of Major Jamie McGuckin, who died on Thursday after suffering a medical emergency while at work. McGuckin dedicated 15 years to the Oklahoma County Jail and previously served as a cross-commissioned peace officer with the Oklahoma County District Attorney's Office and as an Oklahoma County Sheriff's Deputy. Before his law enforcement career, he served in the U.S. Army Reserve, including a deployment to Iraq during Operation Iraqi Freedom. Jail Administrator Tim Kimray says McGuckin is a trusted leader, mentor, and friend whose commitment to public service touched countless lives. Well, it's 81 degrees outside under partly sunny skies at 712. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brelbeck on Freedom 96.9. Well, the debate over data centers in Oklahoma is growing a little bit louder, with Governor Kevin Stitt now weighing in after a packed public meeting in Piedmont and another one over in Yukon. Residents at both meetings overwhelmingly opposed proposed data centers, raising concerns about higher electric bills, water use, and local control. Governor Stitt says he understands those concerns, but points to new state laws designed to protect ratepayers by requiring large data centers, not residential customers, to pay for new power generation. He also says new water use rules will limit their impact on local resources. Stitt argues that as long as companies follow state environmental regulations and zoning laws, Oklahoma should continue welcoming new investment and economic development. A dispute is brewing right now between at the Oklahoma Capitol, over the proposed aluminum smelter plan for Enola. State Representative Tom Gann says House Speaker Kyle Hilbert blocked his request for an interim study that would have examined the controversial $4 billion project and then prevented him from using House resources to explain why the hearing was denied. Gann accuses House leadership of limiting transparency on a project that's backed by both Governor Kevin Stitt and President Donald Trump. The smelter has drawn strong opposition from many Enola residents, Attorney General Gettner Drummond, and the Muskogee Nation over concerns about pollution, public incentives, and the project's long-term impact on the community. Oklahoma is one of five states that is still running to become a hub for the nation's next generation of nuclear energy. The state's proposal to the U.S. Department of Energy includes building advanced nuclear reactors and permanently storing spent nuclear fuel deep underground in stable rock formations. State leaders argue that Oklahoma's decades of oil and gas drilling experience, skilled workforce, and extensive geological data make it an ideal location. Supporters say the project could create thousands of jobs and billions of dollars in new investment, while critics are expected to raise concerns about permanently storing nuclear waste in the state. No specific location has been identified just yet, and the federal government has not yet chosen a final site. Well, the Oklahoma Turnpike Authority has received approval to issue another $1.5 billion in bonds to continue construction of its Access Oklahoma expansion plan. The third round of funding for the project following the previous approvals, totaling $1.5 billion. But the controversial East-West Connector remains tied up in a federal lawsuit, with opponents arguing construction and funding should stop until environmental and legal issues are resolved. The state's Council on Bond Oversight approved the bonds with conditions requiring the Turnpike Authority to comply with any court orders. Officials say if a judge blocks the East-West Corridor, the money will simply be redirected to other Access Oklahoma projects while the legal battle continues. Questions are being raised over how Oklahoma's Tobacco Settlement Endowment Trust is spending money that belongs to the public. The agency has approved another $150,000 for Emory University in Georgia, bringing its payments to the school to nearly $1 million since 2022. TSET says the university provides specialized public health training and technical assistance that benefits Oklahomans. But some lawmakers argue Oklahoma universities like OU and Oklahoma State could provide the very same services, keeping taxpayer dollars here in the state. While most TSET funding stays in Oklahoma, critics say the contract is an exception, and they want the agency to rely more on in-state institutions whenever possible. Well, if you plan to vote in Oklahoma's primary runoff election, today is a very important deadline. Today is the last day to register to vote or update your voter registration before the August 25th runoff election. Republican voters will choose nominees for governor, state superintendent, insurance commissioner, and labor commissioner, while Democratic voters will select their nominee for U.S. Senate race. Election officials also remind voters that Oklahoma law does not allow changes to political party affiliation between April 1st and August 31st of even-numbered years. Registered voters can still update their address or other information before today's deadline. Oklahoma Attorney General Gettner Drummond is asking President Donald Trump and the U.S. Department of Justice to stop a federal civil rights investigation into the city of Broken Arrow over its decision to reject a proposed mosque development. The DOJ is reviewing whether the city's zoning process violated federal religious land use law after the Islamic Society of Tulsa's rezoning request was denied. Drummond calls the investigation federal overreach, arguing that the land use decisions belong to local governments, not to Washington. He also says the DOJ's broad request for city records could discourage citizens from speaking out at public meetings. Broken Arrow says it's cooperating with the investigation while maintaining the mosque proposal was rejected because of infrastructure concerns and not because of religion. More than 1,000 job seekers packed Tinker Air Force Base's Career Information Fair, with some arriving as early as 4:30 on Thursday morning for a chance to learn about civilian careers. Tinker is looking to fill about 200 positions after the Defense Department recently lifted its hiring freeze. Openings include mechanics, engineers, electricians, cybersecurity specialists, public affairs professionals, and firefighters. Officials say the event was designed to help applicants navigate the federal hiring process and prepare competitive resumes. Even those who don't land the interview right away could still be considered as additional positions become available in the months ahead. A Norman landmark is about to get a major makeover. The city council has approved a 10-year partnership with Dr. Pepper that will transform the historic Lindsay Street Water Tower into the first real-life version of the company's Fansville campaign. Under the agreement, Dr. Pepper will pay the city $500,000 over the next 10 years, helping to preserve the century-old tower while creating a new tourist attraction tied to Norman College football identity. City leaders say the project celebrates the community's deep connection to OU football and is expected to be completed by mid-October, just in time for the Sooners' conference home game against Kentucky. Families in Enid briefly lost one of their favorite ways to beat the summer heat. City officials unexpectedly closed the splash pads at Hoover Park and Champion Park on Thursday, announcing only that the facilities would remain shut down until further notice. The sudden closure surprised a lot of residents as the temperatures continue to soar across Oklahoma. Later on in the day, Enid Parks and Recreation announced both splash pads had reopened, but officials have not explained what caused the temporary shutdown. The city has not said whether the issue was mechanical, water-related, or due to maintenance. Oklahoma's summer heat isn't letting up anytime soon. That heat index has topped 100 degrees for the last 22 days already this year, and August hasn't even started yet. Forecasters say a weak cold front could bring brief relief this weekend, with high temperatures dropping into the lower 90s before temperatures climb right back up again above normal next week. Long-range forecasts show warmer-than-average weather continuing through at least the middle of August. Meanwhile, the heat is taking a toll. EMSA continues responding to heat-related emergencies almost every single day, transporting several people to the hospital this week alone. Officials remind Oklahomans that even morning temperatures can be dangerous and urge people to stay hydrated, avoid strenuous activity, and check on vulnerable neighbors. Well, Governor Kevin Stitt, like we mentioned, is defending data center development here in Oklahoma, saying that new state laws protect ratepayers and limit water use. His comments come after packed public meetings where residents voiced strong opposition. Stitt says companies that follow state environmental and zoning laws should be welcome to invest in Oklahoma. So, what do you think? Do you trust the governor's assurance that homeowners won't be paying higher electric bills? Should the local communities have the final say, even if the state wants that economic development? We want to hear from you on this one. 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377, if you want to be part of the show today. It is 81 degrees outside under partly sunny skies at 720, and you're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our eye in the sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Check it out, Freedom Traffic, on this Friday morning. All lanes northbound I-35 are closed in Noble County due to a major crash there. Expect some construction issues, bridge work, eastbound I-44 at Klassen and May and Northwest Expressway.
We're talking about news and opinions from D.C. to OKC. We're Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9, freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app.
Hey there, I'm here chatting with Stephen Smith with ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, ICS has been serving the community for over 50 years. What's the secret behind your longevity?
It's our family-owned roots. We treat every project like it's for our own home, using top-tier Pentek polyurea coatings that are durable, stylish, and built to last. Our focus is on quality and making customers happy.
That's a legacy to be proud of. So what can homeowners or businesses expect when they work with ICS?
It's a seamless experience. We start with a free estimate, help you pick from a range of colors and finishes, and install in just one day. Your floor is ready for use the next morning. No more long waits.
Well, that's a service you can trust. So how do folks get started?
Just reach out and we'll take care of the rest with our lifetime warranty backing you up.
Well, get a floor that lasts with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or head to icsconcretecoatings.com for a free estimate today.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tony with Be Well Acupuncture, and I personally know what it's like to struggle and push through the pain. Is your pain at volume 10? Neuropathy, arthritis, sciatica, whatever it is, you don't have to just live with it. At Be Well Acupuncture, we focus on real drug-free solutions to help mute that pain. We target your troubled areas and get to the source of your issue. You do not have to live in pain anymore. Take the next step to your relief and call or visit BeWellOKC.com. Get back to feeling like your young, pain-free self again.
Hear the latest news and trending information that impacts your world on the new Freedom 96.9, Freedom969.com, and on the Freedom app, Oklahoma's talk radio.
Hey, Oklahoma, this is Dana Lash, host of The Dana Show. I'll be bringing you the latest news you won't hear anywhere else
every weekday starting at 2 p.m.
When you're bearing false witness like that, you're betraying your faith. Don't be ignorant. And when you choose ignorance in this age of information, that is a very bold stand to take. That's a bold choice to choose deceitful, demonic ignorance over easily accessible truth.
You can hear me weekdays at 2 p.m. on the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com.
Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
And welcome back. TGI Friday, baby. We finally made it to the end of another week and the end of another month. It's already the end of July. I almost said August. We're going into August now. 81 degrees outside. It looks like we're finally going to beat this heat a little bit this weekend. Today we'll see hot, sunny conditions, maybe a chance for some scattered showers. Looks like we're already seeing a couple of heavy clouds rolling into the area right now. High of 102 degrees today. Tonight, look for evening thunderstorms possible. Then things are going to clear up a bit. We'll see a low of 70 degrees on Saturday. It's going to be a little bit cooler, a little bit less humid. High of 94 degrees. Then on Sunday, break out the parkas. Sunny and pleasant, high of 92 degrees. It's 81 degrees outside right now. We've got just a few clouds starting to roll in at 724. Well, Governor Stitt is defending data center development in Oklahoma as opposition for those programs continues to grow. Residents have packed meetings over in Piedmont and Yukon, raising concerns about higher electric bills, water use, local control. Stitt says that new state laws will protect homeowners by requiring data centers to pay for the cost of any additional power generation, not residential customers. He says the new water use regulations will limit their impact on local resources. The governor also argues that if companies follow environmental rules and zoning laws, Oklahoma should welcome the jobs and investment that they bring. So what are your thoughts? Do you believe him? 405-608-4377, 405-608-4377. I'm going to take the more controversial side on this. I'm all for them. They'll generate a lot more in tax dollars that could lead to a lot of improvements for communities that have them, especially if the communities play their cards right. This is an opportunity for for communities to say to these companies that have tons and tons of money, look, we want to have you here, but if we're going to have you here, you're going to have to make some dramatic improvements to our infrastructure, to our roads. You're going to have to invest in our power grid so that our power grid can handle the amount of electricity that y'all are going to use. You're going to have to invest in our schools so that the students of today will become the employees of tomorrow. But with the right amount of discussion, I think the communities could really benefit from this. And I've heard people say, so I live in Yukon. Yukon is one of the places that's looking at one of these $1 billion centers. I live in Yukon, and I've had neighbors say to me, well, do you want to right in your backyard? Yeah, I'll open up the back gate. You can set up right on my patio. I'll barbecue for you every Sunday. Come on down. If it means billions of dollars in investment, if it means more jobs, and the reality is with what we're seeing with AI and the evolution of AI, we're going to need these data centers one way or another. We just need to have them. And we as Oklahoma now have an opportunity to be on the ground floor of that while other states are bickering over whether or not they want to have the data centers, over concerns over electricity use, over concerns over water use, over concerns of noise. We can be on the ground floor. And I'm not concerned about any of the above, especially if we're chosen for one of those nuclear plants. And I'd love to see one of those set up in Oklahoma also. The entire country runs on energy. We as an energy state know that. But we also need to diversify our energy production here in Oklahoma. It can't just be about oil and wind and solar. Nuclear is very, very clean. Nuclear is very, very safe. And if we can get nuclear plants to help to produce the energy that these massive data centers need, it's going to put us in the lead as a state. And I think that a lot of this misinformation that's coming about these data centers in terms of water usage, a lot of the water is recycled. In terms of noise, there's really not much noise to them, and there are different buffers that you can put around them to try to mitigate that noise. But I think a lot of that comes out of China. China doesn't want us to be taking over as the leader in data and data use. But again, with the expansion of AI and where that's going to go over the next 10, 12, 15 years, look at how much it's evolved just in the past 2, 3, 4 years, our use of AI. Most of us use it every single day now. And the future of it is realistically unlimited at this point. But we're still going to be needing some place to store all that data. I think Oklahoma is the ideal place to put it. When you're talking about economic development, when you're talking about construction jobs, it's going to create hundreds of temporary jobs. Some of them will be permanent, high-paying technical positions. The projects can dramatically increase local tax revenue. That helps out funding schools, helps out roads, helps out public safety. It'll diversify Oklahoma's economy. For entirely too long now, we've depended upon just oil and gas. They attract a lot more technology companies and AI-related industries. So, in my opinion, it's a good idea. Definitely willing to hear your argument. I'd love to hear somebody. I'd love to hear your side of it. 405-608-4377 is the number to dial. We've still got a bunch more we want to talk about this morning. One person is dead after an early morning domestic shooting in Tacoma Park. What investigators are saying about that deadly incident. Plus, new court documents reveal disturbing allegations after a K County woman disappeared. Stick around. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
USA Radio News. I'm John Summers. President Trump says a deal to disarm the Palestinian terrorist group Hamas is reached. Reports say Elon Musk plans to spend at least $100 million to help Republicans in the upcoming midterm elections. Prosecutors accuse a Canadian green card holder of voting illegally in Florida elections. Here's Florida Attorney General James Utmeyer.
When election officials confronted him, he lied and claimed he never voted. Finally, he admitted the truth. He knew he was not allowed to vote, but he did it anyway.
The fake voters identified as 66-year-old Giorgio Michelli of Melbourne. The Trump administration demanded information from Washington State regarding its policies concerning student records. Todd Blanche's nomination for attorney general could be pulled by President Trump due to GOP opposition. From America's News Network, USA Radio News.
This is Noble McIntyre, and this is the McIntyre Minute. Not all injuries show up at the scene of a crash. Adrenaline is powerful. And shock, well, it often masks pain. And some injuries, especially like neck, back, and brain injuries, can take days or weeks or even months to fully reveal themselves. Insurance companies count on this. They want you to say that you're fine before the real problems start. If you've been in a crash, get checked out, even if you think it's minor. Don't let the insurance company decide how hurt you are. That decision should be made by your doctors, not by adjusters. If you've been in a crash and you need legal assistance, call me. I'm Noble McIntyre with McIntyre Law. My number is 777-000, or you can reach me at noble@mcintyrelaw.com. McIntyreLaw.com. Catch our show, Legal Talk, with Noble McIntyre and Jeremy Thurman, Saturdays at 1 p.m. on Freedom 96.9.
I'm Noble McIntyre, and that's your McIntyre Minute.
Freedom local coverage starts now.
From the Freedom 96.9 News Center, I'm Bo B. Kraft. News is brought to you by Health 65. You've worked hard, and Medicare doesn't have to be. Health 65 is making Medicare easy again. Health65.com. A second person has been charged in connection with a deadly street racing crash that killed 12-year-old Ian Marez and his grandmother, 62-year-old Cecilia Vasquez, in Oklahoma City. Investigators say Felix Acosta was racing when his vehicle struck the family's SUV, which caused it to roll over. Both victims were ejected and died, while five other people were injured. Acosta's already facing murder and DUI-related charges. In addition, Jason Raymond has been charged with two counts of second-degree murder and reckless driving and is being held on a $2 million bond. OKC firefighters responded to a large apartment fire late Tuesday night at a two-story residential building, with crews arriving to find heavy flames and working quickly to contain the fire. No residents were inside and no injuries were reported. Two cats were rescued, with damage estimated at more than $760,000. Garfield County officials say new research is suggesting the tornado that struck the Enid area in April may have briefly reached EF5 strength. Officials say researchers found evidence of stronger winds than originally believed. However, the National Weather Service hasn't changed the official rating. That's the latest from the Freedom 96.9 News Center on Oklahoma's Talk Radio. Your Oklahoma City Freedom Forecast is next.
There's a lot of noise out there, especially when it comes to Medicare. Plans, options, fine print, it's enough to make anyone second guess. That's where Health 65 comes in. We simplify Medicare, explain your options clearly, and we help choose a plan that makes sense for your life, not someone else's. No guesswork, no confusion, just real answers from real people right here in Edmond. Hi, this is Philip Beard with Health 65. Call us or visit us online at health65.com. That's health65.com.
Health 65 is not connected to the federal Medicare program.
Hi, this is Jamie with Discount Garage Door, and we've got some amazing specials going on our stock doors. Right now, get an 8x7 garage door installed for just $10.99, a 16x7 for $16.99, or get the door and motor combo for just $23.99. These prices are out the door, installed, and every job comes with a 5-year warranty on all parts and labor. Give us a call at 525-DOOR or visit us at discountgaragedoor.com.
Hey there, I'm here chatting with Stephen Smith with ICS Concrete Coatings in Oklahoma City. Stephen, ICS has been serving the community for over 50 years. What's the secret behind your longevity?
It's our family-owned roots. We treat every project like it's for our own home, using top-tier Pentek polyurea coatings that are durable, stylish, and built to last. Our focus is on quality and making customers happy.
That's a legacy to be proud of. So what can homeowners or businesses expect when they work with ICS?
It's a seamless experience. We start with a free estimate, help you pick from a range of colors and finishes, and install in just one day. Your floor is ready for use the next morning. No more long waits.
Well, that's a service you can trust. So how do folks get started?
Just reach out and we'll take care of the rest with our lifetime warranty backing you up.
Well, get a floor that lasts with ICS Concrete Coatings. Give them a call at 405-403-4012 or head to icsconcretecoatings.com for a free estimate today.
Freedom.
Weather. Here's your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast. Today will be hot with partial sunshine, and there is a chance of a thunderstorm in some areas this afternoon. Flash flooding, hail, and localized damaging wind gusts are possible. The high will reach 102 degrees. Tonight, expect an evening thunderstorm clearing up later with mainly clear skies and a low of 70. Tomorrow will be cooler with lower humidity and plenty of sunshine, reaching a high of 94. Sunday will have plenty of sunshine with a high of 92. With your Oklahoma City AccuWeather forecast, I'm meteorologist Jason Katerina.
local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News. Join the conversation by calling 405-608-4377.
Good morning and welcome back. It's a Friday morning, 84 degrees outside at 7:36. That means time for your dad joke of the day. You know, Uncle Dave, yesterday I tried to play Frisbee with my dog.
Oh, I bet that was fun.
Yeah, but turns out I need a flatter dog.
Oh, he didn't fly?
Not well. I tried several times and he barked a lot, but that was about it.
Yeah.
Let's check out your Freedom First News headlines now on Freedom 96.9. The Oklahoma County Sheriff's Office is investigating an early morning homicide in Tacoma Park. Deputies were called to a home on Timber Road just after midnight, where they found one person dead from a gunshot wound. Two people have been taken into custody for questioning. Investigators say the shooting appears to have stemmed from a domestic dispute, but they aren't releasing many other details just yet. Detectives remained on scene overnight, and the sheriff's office says it expects to release more information later on today as the investigation continues. Well, new court documents reveal disturbing allegations behind the arrest of a Ponca City man after his wife was briefly reported missing in Kay County. Investigators say Jason Rogers reported his wife missing back on July 22nd, but she was found safe with family the next day. According to court records, the woman told deputies that she had been assaulted, threatened with death, forced to leave behind her phone, wallet, and other belongings before writing goodbye letters to her children. Authorities say she had visible injuries when they found her. Rogers was arrested, and a protective order has been issued, and formal criminal charges are still pending. Well, two people are in custody this morning, and a third suspect remains on the run after a shooting in Midwest City. Police responded to Sand Hills Apartments just after midnight on Thursday and found a woman who had been shot in the foot. Witnesses told investigators the shots came from a white Ford Mustang carrying three men before it sped away. Oklahoma City police later located the stolen Mustang and ended a short pursuit, arresting two suspects and recovering 9mm handgun. The victim was treated at the hospital and charges are expected as the investigation continues. The beating death of a homeless man in Oklahoma City's Asian district is renewing calls for a better response to homelessness and public safety. 59-year-old Cap Nguyen was beaten to death outside of a laundromat earlier this month. At a community meeting, business owners described ongoing problems with trespassing, trash, and people camping near their businesses, while police acknowledged staffing shortages limit how quickly officers can respond. Outreach workers say moving people into housing takes time and trust, while many residents argued that more mental health services and outreach, not just law enforcement, are needed to address the growing problem. The former police chief of Okarchee is now facing a felony charge following an OSBI investigation. 52-year-old Forrest Smith turned himself in on Thursday after prosecutors accused him of using another person's notary signature and official seal during a city audit. Investigators say Smith signed the paperwork claiming that he complied with the audit, even though the supervisor whose notary stamp was used wasn't even at work that day. Smith, who serves as Okarchee's police chief from 2018 until 2024, was booked into the Canadian County Jail. Well, the police chief of Burns Flat is facing criminal charges, too, following an OSBI investigation into a traffic stop earlier this year. Agents were asked to investigate the May incident at the request of the county sheriff's office. After reviewing the case, investigators turned their findings over to prosecutors. Chief Keith Smith is now facing charges with one count of unlawful detention and one count of assault and battery. OSBI says Smith surrendered to authorities on Thursday. Few details about that traffic stop have been released, and the investigation remains ongoing. A tragic accident on Lake Eufaula has claimed the life of a 43-year-old man. The Oklahoma Highway Patrol says the man jumped from a Yamaha ski boat on Wednesday night and never resurfaced. Troopers launched a search and his body was recovered on Thursday by the Highway Patrol's Marine Enforcement Division with the assistance of the dive team. Seven other people on board the boat were not injured. The drowning happened about a mile and a half east of Eufaula over in McIntosh County. The investigation continues. Well, it's 84 degrees under mostly cloudy skies at 7:40 this morning. You're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9. Governor Kevin Stitt is defending a data center development in Oklahoma as opposition continues to grow. Residents at PAC meetings in Piedmont and Yukon raised concerns about higher electric bills, water use, and local control. Stitt says new state laws protect homeowners by requiring large data centers, not residential customers, to pay for additional power generation. He also says that new water use rules will limit their impact on local resources. The governor argues that if companies comply with environmental regulations and zoning requirements, Oklahoma should continue welcoming the jobs and the investments that they bring. A dispute is brewing at the state capitol over the proposed aluminum smelter plant for Enola. Representative Tom Gann says the House Speaker Kyle Hilbert blocked his request for an interim study examining the controversial $4 billion project and then prevented him from using House resources to explain why the study was denied. Gann accuses House leadership of limiting transparency. The smelter, backed by Governor Kevin Stitt and President Donald Trump, has drawn opposition from many local residents, Attorney General Gettner Drummond, and the Muskogee Nation over pollution concerns and taxpayer incentives. Oklahoma remains one of five states competing to become the hub for the nation's next generation of nuclear energy. The state's proposal includes advanced nuclear reactors and long-term storage of spent nuclear fuel deep underground in stable rock formations. State leaders argue that Oklahoma's experienced oil and gas workforce and extensive geological data make it an ideal location. Supporters say the project could bring billions of dollars in investment and thousands of jobs. Critics, however, question whether Oklahoma should become a permanent storage site for nuclear waste. The federal government has not yet selected a final location. Well, the Oklahoma Turnpike Authority has been approved to issue another $1.5 billion in bonds for its Access Oklahoma expansion plan. The funding comes as the controversial east-west connector remains tied up in federal court. Opponents argue construction and financing would stop until the legal and environmental questions are resolved. The Council of Bond Oversight approved the bonds with conditions requiring the Turnpike Authority to comply with any court orders. Officials say if a judge blocks the east-west connector, the money will simply be redirected to other projects within the Access Oklahoma expansion. Questions are being raised over how Oklahoma's Tobacco Settlement Endowment Trust is spending public money. The agency approved another $150,000 for Emory University in Georgia, bringing the total payments up to nearly $1 million since 2022. TSET says the university provides specialized public health training that benefits Oklahomans, but some lawmakers argue universities in Oklahoma, like OU and Oklahoma State, could perform the exact same work while keeping taxpayer dollars here in the state. Although most of TSET funding stays right here in Oklahoma, critics argue this contract should have gone to Oklahoma institutions instead. Well, if you plan to vote in Oklahoma's primary runoff election, today is a very important deadline. Today is the last day to register to vote or update your voter registration before the August 25th runoff. Republican voters will choose nominees for governor, state superintendent, insurance commissioner, and labor commissioner, while Democrats will select their U.S. Senate nominees. Election officials also remind voters that Oklahoma law prohibits changing political party affiliation between April 1st and August 31st of even-numbered years. You can still update your address or other local registration information before today's deadline. Attorney General Gettner Drummond is asking President Donald Trump and the U.S. Justice Department to halt federal investigations into the city of Broken Arrow over its denial of a proposed mosque. The Justice Department is reviewing whether the city's zoning process violated federal religious land use laws. Drummond calls the investigation federal overreach, arguing that zoning decisions belong to local governments. He also says the Justice Department request for years of city records could discourage citizens from participating in public meetings. Broken Arrow is saying that it's cooperating with the investigation while maintaining the proposal was denied because of infrastructure concerns and not because of religion. More than 1,000 job seekers packed Tinker Air Force Base's Career Information Fair, with some arriving before sunrise for a chance for a civilian career. Tinker is looking to fill about 200 positions after the Defense Department lifted its hiring freeze. Openings include mechanics, engineers, electricians, cybersecurity specialists, firefighters, and public affairs professionals. Officials say the fair was designed to help applicants understand the federal hiring process and to prepare for competitive resumes. Even those who don't receive interviews immediately could be considered as future openings become available. Oklahoma's summertime heat isn't going anyplace anytime soon. The heat index has topped 100 degrees for at least 22 days already this year, and August hasn't even started yet. Forecasters say a weak cold front could bring a brief break this weekend, with highs dropping into the low 90s before temperatures climb right back up above normal next week. Long-range forecasts show hotter-than-average weather continuing into mid-August. Meanwhile, EMSA continues responding to heat-related emergencies almost daily. It reminds Oklahomans that even morning temperatures can be dangerous. Stay hydrated, limit outdoor activities, and check on elderly neighbors. Well, volunteer fire departments across Oklahoma are facing a growing shortage of firefighters, creating challenges for many rural communities. Across the state, volunteers respond to everything from house fires and grass fires to traffic accidents and medical emergencies, oftentimes while balancing full-time jobs and family responsibilities. Fire chiefs say recruiting younger volunteers has become increasingly difficult, leaving fewer people to answer emergency calls. Many departments are now urging residents to consider serving, saying that no prior experience is required because training is provided. Without more volunteers, response times could increase, putting lives and property at greater risk. We'll talk about that issue coming up in just a couple of minutes on your First Responder Friday. It is 84 degrees outside under mostly cloudy skies at 7:46, and you're listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brolbeck on Freedom 96.9.
Freedom.
Traffic.
We now take you to our Eye in the Sky.
Traffic brought to you by Service Pro Plumbing. They can't fix the traffic, but they can fix your plumbing. Call today or visit serviceprookc.com. Check it out, Freedom Traffic, on this Friday morning. All lanes northbound I-35 are closed in Noble County due to a major crash there. Expect some construction issues, bridge work, eastbound I-44 at Klassen and May and Northwest Expressway.
Celebrating 250 years of freedom. This is Oklahoma's talk radio, the new Freedom 96.9 and Freedom969.com. Our hosts are always right.
Want to know what $6 million worth of quality pre-owned vehicles look like? Go to www.stevensford.com. Use our built-in search engine to find exactly what you're looking for. Better yet, hop in your car and come on over to Stevens Ford and Heath. Folks, I'm here to tell you that our used car lot is absolutely full of cars, trucks, and SUVs. There's something for everyone, with prices starting under $11,000. 11 grand. As a matter of fact, most are priced below market value. And remember, when you buy from us, drive it for 48 hours, and if you're not totally satisfied, bring it back and get 100% of your money back. And one more thing. Credit is never a problem, because our goal is 100% credit approval. So, come shop our $6 million used inventory and find the vehicle you're looking for at a money-saving price. And remember, Stevens Ford will beat any deal, regardless.
At Cimarron Casino in August, fun, excitement, and winning is in the bag during the Aristocrat Gaming Cash Giveaway. Thursdays in August, 5 to 8 p.m., you could be selected to win one of 20 drawings for a chance to pick a bag and win up to $500 cash. Start playing your favorite games August 1st and receive one entry for every 25 points earned. Bag some cool summer cash at the Aristocrat Gaming Cash Giveaway. Only at Cimarron Casino, where every day is payday.
Get ready. Oklahoma Rodeo fans, come out to the 25th Annual Yukon FFA Rodeo, Friday and Saturday, July 31st and August 1st at the Yukon Roundup Club between Yukon Parkway and Ranchwood.
Come out for the rodeo, along with face painting, kids games, concessions, and more. Gates open at 6:30 p.m. and the rodeo starts at 8 p.m. Get your tickets now at Langston's in Yukon and online at rodeoticket.com.
The 25th Annual Yukon FFA Rodeo, Friday and Saturday, July 31st and August 1st at the Yukon Roundup Club between Yukon Parkway and Ranchwood. Follow us on Facebook, Yukon FFA Rodeo.
From the Strait of Hormuz to the Oklahoma City oil field, we're the local talk station you can depend on. The new Freedom 96.9. Freedom969.com and on the Freedom app.
Life is too short to just deal with the spin. Let's get to the truth, because the truth matters most. I'll give you the news, what's actually important, analyze it for you, give you my thoughts on it, take your thoughts as well. The phone number, 877-973-7425. It's Eric Erickson right here on Freedom 96.9. Listen live weekdays, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., because life's too short for the spin. So get the truth of what's actually happening out there in Oklahoma and around the world. It's Eric Erickson. Listen live, 11 to 2 p.m. weekdays.
Local news, Oklahoma politics and events. This is Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
And a welcome back. Looks like we're finally going to beat the heat, at least for a day or two. Today we'll see hot and sunny conditions, maybe a chance for a scattered shower throughout the day and a high of 102 degrees. Tonight, it's going to be, we might see a couple of thunderstorms possible early on in the evening, then clearing skies throughout the evening and a low of 70 degrees. On Saturday, cooler, a little bit less humid outside, high of 94 degrees. Then on Sunday, actually kind of chilly outside. It's going to be sunny and 92 degrees. It's 88 degrees outside right now. There is a heat warning in effect that was just issued at 751.
This is First Responder Friday on Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck.
Everybody remain calm! I am a fire marshal!
The new Freedom 96.9.
Well, volunteer fire departments across Oklahoma are struggling to recruit enough firefighters. Many rural departments rely entirely on volunteers to respond to fires, crashes, and other emergencies. Fire chiefs say that fewer people are stepping up to serve, raising concerns about longer response times and public safety. Now, training is provided, and departments are encouraging more Oklahomans to volunteer. Chief Todd Beasley is the fire chief of the Town of Wellston Volunteer Fire Department in Lincoln County. He joins us live this morning on First Responder Friday. Morning, brother. How are you?
I'm doing good, Aaron. How are you?
Man, if I was any better, I'd have to be twins. So you guys, like most other volunteer squads throughout the state, are struggling to find volunteers, mostly younger volunteers. You and I are about the same age. We've been friends for a bunch of years now. But back in our day, volunteering was something that younger people did. And it seems like these days that's just not the case. Or am I just sounding like an old guy?
No, that's pretty accurate. Back in 1984, across the country, there were 897,000 volunteer firefighters. As of 2023, there was 635,000.
Wow!
So it's all across the country, and it affects towns like Wellston significantly.
So what's the reason?
You know, I wish I knew. When I was 18, I joined the volunteer fire department on my 18th birthday, the day I turned 18.
So back then you were still using like the horses and the wagons and stuff, huh?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But my dad was a volunteer firefighter. I joined when I turned 18. My sister did. It was just something we did. And there was waiting list, you know, people that had applied, but we were full and didn't have room to put them on. And that, you know, now I wish I had a waiting list at my department.
Yeah, it's just not a thing anymore. I understand the argument. A lot of younger people, your people in your early to mid-20s to 30s, they would probably tell you, look, the economy is tough right now. I've got college debt. I've got rent that I can't afford. I've got bills coming in, and things are so tough. I'm working 2-3 jobs and a couple of side hustles, and I just really don't have time to do this.
And I do believe that is a big part of it. I know that, you know, even for me, I work a full-time job. I have a little one I'm raising, and it gets to be a lot sometimes. So I can understand that.
But that said, it can be very, very rewarding, especially volunteering your time. Talk to me about that, the feeling of reward, knowing that, yeah, I'm doing this on my own time, and I just saved somebody's life for the first time, and it's going to happen again.
Yep, it is. I've been in public safety for over 3 decades now, and there's days that it's hard to get up and come to work or go down to the fire station. But at the end of the day, there's always something that comes from providing that service to my community that is a reward and makes it worth it. And recently, we had an event where I was able to see the community's response to the fire department. And, it was very rewarding.
It would be. So the fire departments, they provide all the training. I don't have to come in with a degree in fire science. If I come knocking on your door today, you're going to train me. You're going to give me the equipment that I need to do my job, to do it safely, to do it efficiently. But another problem that you guys are facing is that there's only so much money to go around for that type of training.
Yes. For the training and the equipment, the gear that those guys have to wear. A set of turnout gear alone is nearly $4,000. The SCBA that the guys wear when they go in and fight a fire, that one of those units is $10,000. And then the training. Now, I will say that some of the career techs surrounding Wellston usually have programs where there's either grants available or they do provide Firefighter One training at a lower cost or no cost. So the career techs around smaller communities usually do kind of help out that way. I think they're reimbursed through grants.
And with smaller communities like Wellston, the people who live there are relying on your services. They can't rely on someone from a much bigger city to come out and help, because oftentimes by the time that a larger city fire department gets out there, it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Wellston is 30 minutes from Oklahoma City. Now, their closest station is out on Hogback Road on the west side of Luther. So you could probably cut that in about half. So having us there is vital to property and lives.
But even at half, if my house is burning or if I'm suffering a major heart attack, that extra 15 minutes is literally life or death. There's no exaggeration there.
Oh, no, not at all. There's a study that was done, I think it was Underwriter Laboratories, and they compared a home that was built in the 50s to a home built today as far as the contents and the materials, and they lit them both on fire. And the home, the modern home, what they called the legacy home, was that room was fully involved in under 5 minutes. And the old home, the one that was built out of materials from the 50s, it took maybe 30 minutes before that room became fully involved.
That's insane.
So that time is important.
So sell me on it. I am young, which is a lie. I'm young. I'm eager. I've got some free time on my hands, which is also a lie. Sell me on the idea of becoming a volunteer firefighter. Why should I do that?
Number one, to serve your community. There's may not seem like it, but there is always reward in service to your community. And it you get some training you could apply it elsewhere outside. You build camaraderie with your fellow firefighters. And it is a rewarding experience, and it gives back to your community in a way that a lot of other things can't.
Yep. And volunteer firefighters are some of the most passionate people I've ever met. There's nothing quite like them. They become like family. So if somebody's interested in becoming a member of the Wellston Fire Department, what do I do?
So you can go by Wellston Town Hall at 211 Cedar and just pick up an application there. You can fill it out while you're there and drop it off. We have a testing process. We give a written exam, we have a physical agility test, and then an interview board that we'll do with the command staff of the fire department.
Chief Todd Beasley, thanks so much for joining us this morning, man. I appreciate you, and I appreciate what it is that you do. And thank you so much for listening to Freedom's First News with Aaron Brillbeck on Freedom 96.9.
In Oklahoma City. Freedom Talk and News.
I'm Bo Beecraft. Tulsa police arrest a man accused of sexually assaulting a Lyft driver.